If you would, take your Bibles and open them to the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel. And we'll continue and more than likely conclude our study with the book of Daniel tonight. We like one more book that is very similar to Daniel. And we're going to do an outline on that particular book and talk about several spots in it, but we're not going to cover the 42 chapters in Daniel on Ezekiel on a chapter by chapter basis. But we want to show the similarities between the two and point out that they were both done during the captivity. Remember, if you will, we've been approaching this from two different standpoints. We've been approaching it from Israel's standpoint and the 10 tribes that followed Jeroboam. We've been looking at it from Judah's standpoint and those that followed Rehoboam, and we brought the kingdom, both kingdoms, Israel and Judah, to a close. And as we bring the kingdom of Israel and Judah to a close, both of those groups wind up in Babylonian captivity. Now Daniel, as we said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the first group to be led into battle. Ezekiel would have been the second group, and of course would have been among the 10,000 that was carried away. And then of course the remaining group was taken into Babylonian captivity. So just remember those two books, Ezekiel and Daniel, were written during that period of time. How many years were they going to spend in captivity?
70
years. Now, as we brought Daniel to a close on Sunday, we said that we were looking at that particular time span. The 70-year span. We kind of dated Daniel's age by that time, considering he may have been 18 or 20 at the time he went into Babylon. 70 years later, he would have been 85, 90 years old, and that range right there. Some think Ezekiel would have been about 35 when he went in and started his prophetic work. So remember, if you will, that both of these men, and especially Daniel is really going to see in these visions the fulfillment of the church, the kingdom, spiritual Zion. He's going to see the fulfillment of the destruction of Jerusalem in 87. He's going to see in vision material the same vision that John saw in the book of Revelation as far as the end of times. So you can kind of see from that all of the problems that Daniel was trying to figure out in his head. Now try, if you would, to put your place, yourself, into the place of some of these prophets. Minor prophets as well as major. Men like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, Haggai, on and on. Now they are making prophetic work, and they're talking about things that's going to be happening in the future. Now it's easy for us now. We've got the entire revelation of God in our hands in the Bible. Now remember, if you will, they didn't have that. So you can see why, as Daniel was seeing these visions in the future, why he was wanting to tell me more. Give me a little bit more understanding. Help me to understand this. Help me to see that. Because you see, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have the Acts. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have the Revelation. They didn't even have the remaining part of the Old Testament at the time. All they had was Moses' work up to that point. It was still being completed in the sense that Daniel and Ezekiel were still writing something. So you can kind of see from that the problems that they had, and why you see many times Paul and others referring to the gospel as the mystery. The mystery of the gospel. And it's still in some people's eyes in the religious world today, it's a mystery. Why? How could it be a mystery? Right. If you don't know what happened beginning in Genesis and the end of the Revelation, if you don't know what happens in between those two books, then it's a mystery. Because the only way that it can be unveiled, clearly understood, is us with patience reading and studying and saying, here's my guide. Here's the rule book. Here's what I'm going to set my standard by. Because you see, that is a phenomenon in our day. And even many places in the church, they never raise the question, where's the authority? Where's the authority for what we do and say in the realm of religion? Do you know we as elders, we can't go any further than the authority of the Scriptures. And we've got to always ask the question, where can we find the authority to do this, this, and the other? Because if we can't find it, what can we not do? What?
Can't do it.
Can't be engaged in it. And people today never consider that. It is sad to say in the churches. It used to be 15, 20 years ago. You could walk into the congregation that had the Church of Christ across the door, and you could expect to hear a respect for the Scriptures. Not anymore. In many cases, what we have evolved into is a Church of Christ denomination. You know, that's sad. In the sense that we've kind of turned it in to denominational principle. So it's a mystery in the sense that people don't know it today. Now, we can kind of see from Daniel's perspective, remember if you will, we started this back in Daniel 2. And in that particular description of this image that we talked about, it really laid down the groundwork of four kingdoms, earthly kingdoms, that was going to rise and fall. Now, when we got to chapter 7 on Sunday morning, we see that vision kind of expanded on. Now, instead of a beast or an image, what did we talk about in chapter 7? What did Daniel see in this vision? Something like a lion, another like a bear, another like a leopard, and the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, that had a bunch of horns and then one little horn. So, again, four images there that represented something. The first one represented the Babylonian Empire, the second one the Medes and the Persians, the fourth the Grecian, the leopard the Grecian, and then the Roman. Now remember, it was all about the Roman kingdom. Now what these visions are going to implement in Daniel is that there's going to be a gap that's covered in these last two visions of Daniel that kind of fill in a space. For example, we first talked about those four kingdoms that was going to rise and fall. But before the Roman kingdom could rise, the Roman kingdom had to take over four small kingdoms between the Grecian kingdom and the Roman kingdom. You see, when Alexander the Great died at 33, 34 years of age, they broke the Grecian kingdom into four sections, and they split it up, and they gave each of his generals a section. And four generals took what Alexander the Great had captured, and one took their part, another one took theirs, until they divided it four ways. Well, then, of course, you know what's going to happen. One general wanted the others, and the other general wanted theirs. Well, guess who winds up in charge? Rome. So, the four generals that split off of the Grecian kingdom is basically wrapped up in one in the Roman kingdom. Now, this took place leading up to the birth of the Son of God. Now, to really get the full focus of this, we've got to remember what Isaiah said about his prophecy in chapter 53 and 54 about the Son of God and his birth, where we saw that birth, and what would happen. We've got to remember what Jeremiah had to say during his prophetic work, and especially when he talks about the new covenant that's going to come into existence, because you see, now Daniel is about to see there's something really happening that no one has ever really seen happen before. And that's the spiritual kingdom that's not going to be an earthly kingdom, but it's going to be a spiritual kingdom. Now, one of the problems that Jesus had during his earthly ministry was getting the Jewish people to accept him as the Messiah. And when they rejected him as the Messiah, again, Daniel is seeing these things in these visions, trying to figure out how this is going to come to be. Now, as you get to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, we need to probably turn there for just a moment. Turn with me, if you will, to the 24th chapter of Matthew. Now, what you're going to find in the 24th chapter of Matthew is Jesus beginning to deliver a lesson on a mountainside. Look, if you will, in chapter 24, verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown back." Now, if you began to look at this discourse that Jesus gives, he's going to talk about some things that they can see, some things that they can identify with, and he's even going to mention Daniel 9 and Daniel 11 to talk about this event. Now notice, if you will, it says in verse 5, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall receive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, here's where people will go in the religious world. Maybe he's heard some of this. To prove that the 7-year tribulation and the thousand-year reign of Christ is going to happen out there in the future. That in the future, Jesus is coming back. He's going to sit down in the city of Jerusalem and establish his earthly kingdom. Now remember, we've already learned from Joel and from Isaiah and from Jeremiah and from Ezekiel and from Daniel and many other prophets that this is going to be a spiritual city, not an earthly city. It's going to be a spiritual reign, not an earthly reign. But they'll look at this in verse chapter 24 and they'll say, you see, this is out there in the future. But what this is a prophetic work using Daniel as an example to say the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Why is it going to be destroyed? Because the Jews rejected the Messiah. They rejected his kingdom, his messiahship. And in AD 70, Rome was going to circle that city and starve those people to death. There's a couple of books back there in both libraries written by Josephus. It's basically a biblical history. And it tells about this event. And it tells about how these people literally starved. They ate the grass off the ground. The rats and the mice that was there, the bugs and the cockroaches and whatever they could get their hands on, and then they began to eat their own flesh. Jesus said he was glad. Yes.
Weren't the Christians at that time able to get out of the city?
Yes, they were. That's a good point. And they're going to quote Daniel to point out that they would be able to see certain signs and they would know when to leave. Now let's go a little bit further. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for a name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets arise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many wax cold, but that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, he gets this based on prophecies made by Daniel in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, Daniel 11, and verse 31. Visions that Daniel saw that caused his head to ache, Daniel's that caused him to want to know more, explain to me clearly, let Gabriel, give me the information I need to fully see this. You see, Daniel talked about this event taking place in the future, and he talked about how horrible it's going to be. But yet, the remnant, the faithful, is going to be able to hear and see, and as we would say, get out of time. I think Josephus writes somewhere, David, in his historic event, that as far as people knew, there was not one Christian that lost their life in the siege of Jerusalem. Because they had the prophetic word. They had the information they need to be able to see and identify the times and get out. Now notice, if you will, it also goes on to say, in verse 36, it talks about tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall. Now I'm in 29, but I'm going to get to 36. It talks about the tribulation, the sun being darkened, the moon not shining. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. And then he uses the parable. Now, take into consideration, Daniel had seen all this in these visions. So in Ezekiel, so in some others. They could foresee it when they say, they saw him coming. What they meant was his tribulation was being meted out on these people that had failed to repent and accept him as the Messiah and accept him as his king. Now notice what he says in verse 35, verse 34 and 35. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. There may be a lot in here you don't completely grasp or understand, haven't dug deep enough to satisfy your mind on it. Do you have any problem understanding this? When was this event going to take place?
During that generation.
What does that mean it's not going to do? It's not going to happen down the road. It's not going to take place. Now look at verse 35. Now they'll talk about all this other stuff, pushing the premillennial doctrine on people and duping them into believing this false doctrine, because it really draws a lot of audiences and a lot of attention. And they'll talk about all of nations shall rise against nation, and there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Oh, Hitler was one of them, and they'll go on and on talking about that. And they never seem to read verse 35. Somehow they miss that verse when they read chapter 24. Now look at verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, 36 is the dividing point in the whole chapter. Draw your line around verse 36. Because everything before verse 36 were things that happened during the times of that generation. Things that they could see. Things that they could identify. Things that they could know. There's that word "but" again. When we say we're going to watch, we're going to pay close attention. When we see the word "but" anywhere. But of that day and hour, knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You see, these people that were listening to all of this were under the concept he's talking about the end of the world. They were thinking in their mind, anything that's horrible, anything that's drastic, any event like this, oh, it's got to be talking about the end of the world. So what the Son of God does, he draws it into two sections. The first section was things they could know, identify with, and see. But the second event, the end of time, the end of the world, who's not going to know that? Nobody but the Father. Who does that include? Exclude. Us, the angels, who else? Even Christ, the Son of God, on his glory. That's right. That's so true. You see, once this vision, now we're going to flip back to Daniel. Now, once we see this vision, and once Daniel gets this vision, you see, as we go all the way through, we see that in the end, Christ is going to deliver this kingdom, who? This kingdom back to who?
to the Father. So you can see why Daniel had so much going on. And now chapter 8 is going to talk about a ram and a he-goat. And the he-goat's going to back strong, and the little horn's going to overcome the rest. In other words, the Grecian kingdom is going to be destroyed. And one of the four is going to come out victorious. And that's, of course, going to be the Roman Empire. Now, we looked at chapter 9 on Sunday, and we talked about Daniel's prayer. And we talked about the 7 weeks in verse 24. And he's going to have another vision in chapter 10. And, of course, chapters 11 and 12 will bring the end to the book of Daniel, but in chapter 10, it says in verse 12, Daniel 10, 12, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy word. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I come to make thee understand what shall befall the people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days." Now you see where the vision started back in Daniel 2. And you see how they go all the way through the Roman Empire and the fall of the Roman Empire, the establishment of the church and the spiritual kingdom, and the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish nation being completely destroyed. There's not a Jew anywhere that can trace their ancestors back to them. The only hope that you have today is a hope, the same hope you and I have. It's through embracing the Messiah, acknowledging Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and leaving Judaism. There's no hope that God. No matter what the religious world says, this book we call the Bible says that He is the door. And you come through that door, and there is no of door, no of what. That's the reason it's so important to present the gospel, the truth of redemption from the Bible, because you can rest assured it is a mystery in the minds of most people, even religious people, both in the church and out of the church. Because our minds have been so clouded with the denominational concept and us really forgetting about the responsibility that falls upon our shoulders as New Testament Christians to realize that everything that we do and say and teach in His body has to be supported by the authority of His. We'll pick up on Sunday morning we want to look at Ezra, Nehemiah, and Ezekiel. Especially look through Ezekiel and Nehemiah. They're kind of somewhat short books, but they really show how that the law was reestablished, set up, the temple put back into place, and the city refurbished.